And then we'll have 3 weeks off. I'll be in America for two. I just assume. I assume you guys are going to spots. I don't know if that's a fair or inaccurate assessment. But that was. But that's what I'm believing. So then we'll have 1 week before Perm. We're going to try to keep talking on lower. It's gotten a little out of control. He could do dances. That's all good. Okay. We're going to speak this week about me taking Gersh's phone away. We're going to speak this week about Shabbos. About Shabbos. We're not going to have outbursts. I'm really glad.
I have a special shear right now. Everyone shut up.
Nice. Only I'm allowed to say the controversial lines on the why he's hurt. But if you feel you need to have like outbursts and yells, like you go outside. I think Rabboah's office, like it'll be very good for that office to have fire and energy. So I think going in there and yelling would be. And you can tell him I sent you. Stop acting like an idiot. Okay. We may have mentioned him last week. I don't remember. I'm not sure he's right about this statistic. But he maybe deals with an older population or genre. But those that know how to do the double swipe to get out of the app, Tarragon. But Dr. David Pelkovitz, a world-renowned psychologist in the Great Neck area, he once said the following: that if a Jew did not have to keep Shabbos, he still believes. Dude, that's a lie. Go run. Go for a run. Run to Gimel. Tell us how it goes. He still believes that that people would keep Shabbos because that sense of needing disconnect, of needing to get away from this and just having our own time. Like, you know, we say TGIF, but it's really thank God it's Friday as a lead into Shabbos. People really would keep Shabbos. What can I tell you? I don't have as much Donald House list for your door that even if you are keeping Shabbos, that you're not doing, you wouldn't be doing it on your own volition if you didn't have to. But okay, a thought to keep in your head. My friend told me this past week, he was listening to some now secular, I think politician, he said, who used to be from, but he went into, you know, you go into certain professions, just being Orthodox is just not possible. I remember when I was in 12th grade, and I told our college guidance counselor I wanted to be a sportscaster, do sports radio. He's like, "Do you want to keep Shabbos? You want to be Orthodox?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "It won't be possible." I'm like, "Of course it'll be possible." He's like, "No, he's like you're like thinking like, oh, you'll be like the, you know, the 1 o'clock, you know, CBS football guy." But like, you know, everyone who does like the 1 o'clock, you know, who does like the CBS football route, you know, except for Tony Romo, like they started off by, but he also had to violate Shabbos by, you know, playing college football. But everyone else, like, you know, you start off by being like, you know, in like Louisiana, covering like Friday night, like Louisiana girls rugby. Like that's how you get there. So it really wouldn't be possible to keep Shabbos. So this guy, I don't know if they have rugby in Louisiana, but we'll just say for argument's sake they do. But this guy, the secular politician, someone was asking him, this non-Jewish person at all, was asking him, like, what really happens? Like, what's the punishment if a Jew doesn't keep Shabbos? Like, you know, you think, like, to how, like, you know, you go through the Gemara, you think, like, how it used to be. Like, imagine the scene. Like, anything death. That we would do.
Death.
Not even death. But imagine, like, you know, whatever, none of you. But, you know, maybe a Shana'av guy who's not as holy as you guys. Whether he did something and all of a sudden he actually got punished on the spot. Like, you see something coming out from heaven that, like, just knocks him, you know, from here all the way to Tiferet. And something crazy was to happen. So then all of a sudden you might be like, I might think twice before I do the next thing. But since nothing's really happening, like, you know, it's not really like, you know, it was happening day to day. It's not so different for the person who's, you know, who's in the base medrash on Shabbos and the person who's on their phone on Shabbos. It's not such a big difference, you know, in that scheme. So this person answered, the punishment for not keeping Shabbos is that you did not keep Shabbos. Like that's the punishment. That you now the opportunity to keep Shabbos. That's a major, major thing to think about. That, I mean, obviously, you know, as Orthodox Jews, we know it's a little deeper than that, and that there actually is a punishment. But notwithstanding that, not even thinking about, oh, what's going to happen ultimately? You guys are young. You know, you have a long time till you know, you'll hopefully miss a Shemi a long time till you'll meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu at your, you know, ultimate date after you die. It should really be a long time. You know, you never know, but hopefully it'll be a long time. So you're not really going to deal with that. But any time that you don't keep Shabbos, you know, the punishment is that you didn't get to keep Shabbos. So we're gonna go out on a limb. Not even because I per se believe everyone here keeps Shabbos, but you know, I'll say for argument's sake, I believe that. But we're gonna okay. I don't know if you're talking about yourself or others, but you know, we're gonna go out. Nodding doesn't really answer the question. But we're not for that. You want a shout out for that? You don't get a shout out for that. We're gonna talk a little bit about Shabbos, because even just doing nothing on Shabbos, the punishment for doing nothing on Shabbos is that again you did nothing on Shabbos. Okay, so we need to make the idea of Shabbos more. And there's a lot of different ways on how to make Shabbos more. We have Tishes. I know there's Shana Bet Tishes. I'm not an anti-Tish person. I happen to, and I'll tell you, one of the Rebbeim and Ariel's wedding, like the difference between this wedding and my wedding is that by my chuppah, no one was drunk. And by this chuppah, only me and this rabbi were not drunk. So, you know, things are definitely different. So I'm not so anti, I know you were just trying to figure out when you could get, when of course I wasn't looking to get your drink. Okay, so I guess the difference was only me and this rabbi weren't plotting on how we weren't going to be drunk. So I have no problem with tishes. Tishes are very, very beautiful, and drinking can be very, very beautiful. Even though, you know, basically every time in Chazal that it's used, it ends up with, like, you know, whatever, like sleeping with your child, or getting castrated, or slaughtering your friend. Like, you know, it doesn't. It doesn't really end so well, but for, you know, for argument's sake, we'll just you know, we'll assume that, like, you know, that doesn't go on. But tishes really, as an example, have an opportunity to be tremendously kadosh. They have a real opportunity for you to bring Shabbos into the highest of levels. Like anything in life, you don't give them a shadow. Like anything in life, You have to be honest with yourself when you're doing anything. Like, why am I really doing it? Like, you know, you could say, like, you felt really, really close to God, and, like, you know, I was walking with God, but, like, and when you wake up at 2 o'clock the next afternoon, and you know, you didn't, and you missed, you know, basically everything that goes on in the day in Shabbos until 2 o'clock. Like, you know, you just gotta be honest with yourself. But there are definitely people who can find ways to get closer, and that's a great way. In many ways, you know, being at a tish, being at, you know, that kind of environment, you know, is a lot better than, you know, being in your pajamas playing. Don't walk in 10 minutes late to have a, you know, whole you know, scene. But in many ways, you know, that's a lot better than sitting on your bed and, you know, contemplating how you're going to become the ultimate dragon master. Like, you know, there's pros and cons to everything in life, but that really has a good opportunity. On Tisha B'Av, I heard of the name of David Beshefkin, the rabbi in IBC. He has a podcast, very, 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 very interesting. He also is super, super anti having Shabbos guests, so I gotta try to figure out how to implement that, because that seems like that could be game changing. He seems to be very, but he said over that one of the things he did in his family on how he kind of gave himself a raise. He basically decided to, like, devote a lot more money into Shabbos. So, like, instead of going on vacation and staying at the Waldorf or this hotel or that hotel, or going to Orlando and then being like, no, I can't afford to have anything besides, you know, like, cauliflower is crazy expensive. I can't afford to have anything besides, I don't know, something that's not expensive on Shabbos. He put a lot to it. So he had, like, crazy, crazy intense amount of candy that he gives out to his kids, and he made Shabbos. And so, okay, I'm not saying that you have to go get a candy rush, maybe a weed rush, but I'm not saying you have to go have a candy rush. But the idea again is just having that idea in your head. Having that idea in your head of what am I going to do to make Shabbos more special? Because Klinger, when you don't make Shabbos special, the punishment is you did not make Shabbos more special, and you come out the loser that way. You don't come out the winner. You come out the loser.
That's why we drink.
You know, Shabbos is I'm not saying it's bad. Just be honest with yourself. Shabbos is known as Yom Menucha, and there's definitely a lot of value to sleeping on Shabbos. Like anything in this world, things have to be done, you know, within reason. Like when you I don't even know if anyone really does this in yeshiva, but maybe. But like, you know, if you sleep like 21 hours on Shabbos, you kind of miss the point. And you know, you need to have a lot more schmoozes and realize that maybe, like, you know, when you sign that thing that says Shana Bet, and maybe put the check by Shana Aleph, might be what. Yeah. But
maybe put the check mark for Maryland.
Not enough. They probably don't sleep 21 hours. They probably do other stuff, but like, you know, whatever it is, whatever it is. But don't make it a day that's exclusively a day of rest. But it should be a day of recharging. I view there's like three main ideas on what one should be working on and really wants to accomplish on Shabbos. It's learning, thinking, and chevra. Those are three very, very important things to try to do. Like anything, like you can't be drastic in one way. Like I can't say, like, if you learn 21 hours in Shabbos, you're worse than the guy who slept 21 hours in Shabbos. But I'm not so convinced that the guy in Leva Torah learns 21 hours in Shabbos and the guy who sleeps 21 hours in Shabbos, okay, that in 5 years from now, they're not going to be so much in the same place in life. I'm not so convinced about that, because I really think that, like, you just in general being like there's yechidim, okay, there's like, or I'll put it this way, I always say about Leva Torah, like, there's like one guy a year who's like different than like everybody else, and everybody else you just realize they're kind of in that middle boat. So if you're not that one guy and you're trying to be like, you're just being extreme, and generally being extreme does not work. So having learning on Shabbos, Rav David Hirsch of the Rosh Yeshiva of YU, you know, I don't know if he would still say this, but like 15 years ago he used to say, and he only had daughters, I couldn't even learn with them Friday night in the winter, it's geschmack. You know, you finish a meal and I get home from school like 5:30. You finish it like 6:25, like, that's awesome. I like when rabbis talk about having fast meals. And then you get to learn for like 3.5 hours, then you get in your pajamas, you get a good night's sleep. It's amazing. So these winter Shabbos, there's definitely, pre-tish, there's definitely a lot of time to make sure to learn. You should try to do something like unique, something different that you don't normally do during the week. But again, it should make it special. That whole idea, is trying to make Shabbos, it's not just Saturday. You know, that's why you have to, like, you know, the same way it's absurd when people say they're in a class. You know, you're not in a class, you're in a shir. It's not Saturday, it's not Friday, it's not Saturday night. Erev Shabbos, Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos. Like, there's something to saying that it's not just like, oh, a cute thing that, like, you know, the girl in MMY who was doing God knows what last year is now talking like that. Okay, maybe a different seminary was doing God knows what. But, you know, whatever the case might be, like, it's not just like a cute thing. It's that you understand that Shabbos isn't Wednesday. It's not Saturday. There's a difference. So having some form of learning that you look forward to. Your questions, Goldberg. That's your time. Give yourself 1 hour every Shabbat that all your questions, all your philosophical debates, all your whatever machshavas are going on in your head, that you're going to devote 1 hour on Shabbat. You know, I'm going to really think about these questions, and I'm going to come away with an answer. I'm going to come away with a mahalach. I'm going to think about it. And then after Shabbos, because obviously you're not going to do this on Shabbos, after Shabbos, you're going to use your hand or your computer. You're going to open up your computer, and you're going to write your bortluch. You're going to write your Dibrei Zak. So then when you're, you know, what's your Hebrew name? Zachariah. So then in like 10 years from now, you're going to put out Dibrei Zachariah. You're going to have all your boards of Shabbos, and you've devoted your time to thinking about all these ideas, all these amazing questions you had about, you know, why does Paro want to have the kids here? Why does he want to have the cattle here? It's just making it harder anyway. It's going to cause him wrath. Why does he want that? You're going to develop that on Shabbos. And you're going to write that every week. Some weeks you might even surprise yourself. You might even have more than one mahalach. There might even be a volume 2 to the Dibrei Zachariah. What?
Why am I singled out here?
You you need to be singled out. So have a lima that you enjoy. Do something different, but make sure you're learning. Singing. You know, singing doesn't work for everyone. Ramot did once tell me that, like, you know, if you don't sing Smiros, my kids won't be from. And Ramot. So there's one of two ways of looking at that. Ramot's sort of like an Avodah Zarah. You either really hold by it or you think it's moronic. So, like, you either like, whoa, that's like really intense, I gotta sing, or you're like, okay, it's Ramot, like, you know. So you know, there's one of two ways of taking that comment from him. But singing Smiros is very, very important. Singing at your tissue, like, if you're just having a tissue, like a drinking fest, so like, you know, you don't have to call it a tish. We can just call it like Friday night in secular college. Here in the Leva Torah apartment. Like, we could give it a more appropriate name. And Shalosh Shudas. Shalosh Shudas is like a really, like, the pinnacle of Shabbos, and like bringing it in. So it might be hard for Azulai, you know. I don't know if they bring out the Sephardi tunes. I'm sure Sephardim have different, you know, Shalosh Shudas, Nigunim, and food and everything, you know. Okay, you should have gone to the Sephardi yeshiva. What do you want from Azulai? It's time for you to convert to being Ashkenaz.
Nah,
don't pound that! Be a proud Sephardi! What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
It's all the same tune.
And the third thing, it's chevra. Don't be alone. Don't be alone on Shabbos. Go to meals with friends. Hang out with your friends. Have great debate. I remember Zohar, one of my years in YU. It's like 10 of us in like one of the, some, I think it was my dorm room. It was like 10 guys in a dorm room. We're probably talking about nothing, and this guy like comes down. Like, I know Leva Torah guys are real intellectuals and known for philosophical debates. It was like 9:45 of us at this time. He's like, but some of them are trying to sleep. He's like, can you stop having your intellectual debates? And I have to admit, like, I think they should have put that in the brochure, because I don't think Leva Torah has ever been accused of being philosophical, of being intellectual, of having debates of that type. You know, Anna was 9:45 at night, but this guy was, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's important to, he was angry that he wanted to sleep. It was a really late hour. He needs to get his beauty sleep in. But it's a good time to schmooze with friends, it's a good time to really be together. Like, don't be by yourself on Shabbat. Like, hang out with Chevra. Give Avi like a chest bump when he gets up to Daf Tess of Kedushin. Like, you know, be all in. Be with each other. You know, if you know a guy like always eating in the yeshiva, so and you're going to someone, so try to get him to come there as well. Like, but really try to take your Chevra in and to really realize that it's much easier on Shabbos during the week, because, you know, during the week the easiest, you know, I don't want to point out, this isn't an attack of Mishkan Shiva, because this is every shul in the world, but it's a place I saw most recently. But, you know, I walk a lot, you know, and definitely a non-running day is I like just walk all day. But I'm like walking back like by Mishkan Shiva like after their Mincha Minyan, and just everyone's out there. They're all on their phone out there. Now, why am I picking on them? I do the exact same thing. So why am I picking on them? But the easiest thing to do on a weekday, I'm never going to talk to them. I'm going to talk to Poser. I'm going to check out, you know, Joe Burrow's playoff record, right? How Digimon is doing, or Pogs. You know, I'm going. You know, those were the games before Dungeons and Dragons. You know, Pogs. When I was in like second grade, I couldn't remember how to play, but Pogs was massively popular. You could Google Pogs. You guys were not born then. You were far, far from Achshavah. Your parents might not even be married at that point. You know, you were far from Achshavah when I was in the second grade playing the Pogs. But in any event, you know, why am I going to talk to someone? I could just take out my phone. So on Shabbos, you know, again, we went on the assumption. I'd like to believe everyone here keeps Shabbos, but, you know, someone here was trying to point that they don't. We got to talk. We have to really, really talk. But at least at that point, hopefully, you know, if you're with someone who's keeping Shabbos, you're not gonna just whip out your phone in the middle. So then you actually have to have interactions. I know it's so hard. It's like the scariest thing in the world. Like, you know, when the app doesn't work, and then you have to call up Pango to like put on your parking. Like, I have to talk to humans. Then in Hebrew, like, oh my gosh, you know, you get chest pains just thinking of such a thing happening. Not even an event happening. Just a thought gives you pain. But that's like a very, very good time to interact with individuals, to interact with uh, with people and to you know, perfect that skill of actually being able to talk to people, not a punchin' Indian, but to really try to maximize that on Shabbos, because again, the only person that comes out the loser if you're not making Shabbos the highest experience and best moment it could be is each and every one of you. And me, because that you know, we're not dealing with punishment. Okay, fine. Ultimately, there'll be a punishment. It's a long time till then, and you know, there's, God willing, a lot of days and Yom Kippurs to do tshuva for that. But even keeping Shabbos, like, or like, you know, there's two levels. Like in everything in life, you can not keep, and you can like keep, but like you're not really keeping. Like, you know, it's like you just sleep all day, or you're just doing nothing, and you're like. You know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you already have like the countdown in your head, like, and how many seconds and how many minutes? Okay, round the one until Shabbos is over. You know, besides that, if you start at 1 o'clock, like, you're gonna like kill your brain, because that's a lot of hours to just be doing that for. But in any event, that's not what we're really trying to accomplish out at a Shabbos. But we're trying to beautify it. We're trying to make it a real part of our days and our lives. And again, and adding on to that, Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos as well, like just taking that zman, that you know, when you're, you know, that out of yeshiva, you know, more relaxed. Not that, you know, Leiva Torah is the most any time Leiva Torah is like so intense. Like, I don't know why this yeshiva has burnouts. Like, I didn't think that'd be really hard to have burnout, but like, I don't know. I don't really cop it so much, but be it as it may be. But like taking that time when it's definitely more relaxed than even, tell a funny story after, even when it's, than even normally to maximize that and to elevate your lives and to make sure you don't become the loser. Don't lose out on the opportunity to make Shabbos the best day possible.